Hello to you, South Australia. 5 minutes past 9 o'clock on this beautiful Saturday morning. You got Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tom Ayer, your dead set legends, until 12 o'clock as I welcome a man that played cricket for our country in three formats, if you don't mind. Cal Ferguson, hello to you, mate.
Tomo, great to be here. It is a magnificent day here in Adelaide. It's paradise here, isn't it? And another great Saturday. Plenty of sport happening.
Yep.
We'll talk all about it. And we've got some big news coming from our other man.
Oh, massive news. I look down at my screen here, I just see a nice, chunky Tom Rockliffe. Hello, Rock. Where the hell do we find you?
Yes, I'm just in holiday mode. I had some business to take care of up north, so I've just ventured up to Brisbane. I could not miss this morning's show. I had to make sure that I could come and see your beautiful faces and talk to the people of Adelaide.
Now, Rocky, I heard the borders were permanently closed for you to go back to Brisbane, because as soon as they gave you the arse, they started flying.
They kicked me out, and I'm on a little mission just to get some inside mail on Brisbane. As we know, Port Adelaide take them on in round one, so I've been sent up here to get some inside mail, but there's been a few people looking a little bit funny at me, so the quicker I get out and get home to Adelaide, the better.
Perfect. Now, speaking of mail, I'm hearing some very, very big news coming out of Albany in the next 15 minutes, Rock. Is that true?
Yeah, there is. So I think we'll have a Triple M exclusive Dead Set Legends on a Saturday morning. So we know that they've had 7 re-signings this week down at Port Adelaide.
Correct.
Burton, Sin, Lord, Vizentini, Drew, Cleary, Houston. And I have the names of 2 of the biggest stars down at Port Adelaide that have re-signed.
Whoa.
I'm just waiting for confirmation in the next 15 minutes, but turn that dial down. 2 of the biggest names at Port Adelaide have recommitted for another couple of years. So,
wow. That is huge, mate. That is absolutely huge. Okay. Well, let's get on the way, eh? Beautiful.
Let's get going.
Dead Set Legends for a Saturday morning. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo. You can get us on the text line as well. 0488 51047. Triple M. Triple M Dead Set Legends with Cal Ferguson, Tom Rockliffe and Tomo. Beautiful Saturday for your long weekend, if you don't mind. We're here until 12 o'clock. And boys, it's fair to say she was probably the toughest radio show I've certainly done in my life. And last week was just insane. We got the news come through about Shane Warne, the tragic death, 52 years of age, unfortunately passed away with a heart attack. And we jumped on air, and it was a good way to celebrate the man. But it was very, very tough. What was your thoughts on it, Ferg?
Yeah, no, it was. It was one of the tougher mornings, there's no doubt about it. And particularly 24 hours after we lost the great Rod Marsh as well. That was a really big hit to the Australian sporting community. And, with the guests we had, I mean, we were very blessed.
Yep.
You know, Greg Blewett played, 40 tests with the
exactly,
man.
Exactly, yeah.
And then to also listen to Sam Newman, one of his closest mates, talk about how close they were. But more importantly, talked about the man. And you know, he's not always been noted as that real caring and...
Generosity.
Generosity, loyalty to his mates. We got a really good insight into the man himself behind the scenes.
Yeah, big time.
Without all the showboating out on the ground. And to hear Sam speak so emotionally about him was just incredible. It was a great morning of celebration, but very, very somber.
Yeah, Rocky, now we were speaking off air, mate. 30th of March, it's looking like the funeral for the King, Shane Keith Warne, at the MCG. You reckon there'll be a few there?
Yeah, I think there will be. We know that they've renamed the Great Southern Stand, the SK Warne Stand, which will get done fairly sharp, I would have thought. And I did see that Daniel Andrews said that there's not going to be any restrictions on the amount of people that can go there.
Wow.
So my understanding would be, if you could pack out the stands and then I'm sure you would be able to get people on the grass, you could see a record crowd at the MCG. I'm thinking anywhere up to 120,000 to celebrate the life of Shane Warne. And we know how good good of a man he is, but how big and Coliseum the MCG is, so to be able to celebrate his life now. And it was so much sad and shock, and everyone still has that, but I think we've transitioned into that celebrating and what he was and how lucky we were to be a part of or to watch Shane Warne for those 52 years of his life.
I was speaking to a few mates this week, and I don't think we've realised how big he was. You hear about the star, Chris Martin from Coldplay, Elton John. That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Right.
And then obviously once it comes to an end for the great man, and you can finally understand that he's a global megastar.
That's right.
Huge.
Yeah, I mean, they were posting about him generally when they caught up. It wasn't Warnie posting photo selfies. It was them posting the selfies of Warney. I mean, you hear you know, Mick Jagger and Elton John talk about, well, who would you like to be
yeah.
if you weren't yourself? And they both said Shane Warne.
Shane Warne!
Unbelievable scenes.
Yeah.
And look,
incredible.
Not sure if Mick Jagger will make it. I know Ed Sheeran and Elton John are both touring at the moment, but Chris Martin's going to be there. So,
yeah, huge.
Look, it just shows the pulling power of the man. And the tickets are actually going to be sold via ballot. You know, they're not going to be able, you're not just being able to walk in and buy a ticket at the gate. It's going to be people flying in from overseas, flying in from interstate to get to this thing. And if you're lucky enough to get a ticket in the ballot, good luck to you. It's going to be an amazing event and hopefully an incredible celebration of the great man's life.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Okay, we're going to move into some big, big news down the road, Rocky. Now, you've been told to hold your powder from the Port Adelaide Football Club, but, I'll tell you what, I think we just go with it next.
Yeah, after this song, I'm going to drop the two names, two young superstars, two superstars that Port Adelaide have re-signed and committed. So I'll have those names after this song.
Wow.
Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo, 104.7.
Triple M.
Triple M. You got your Dead Set Legends here, 18 minutes past 9 o'clock. Cal Ferguson, Tom Rockliffe and Tomo. We're going to speak to Jay-Z Clark very, very shortly. Just to, you know, go over what the hell's happening in the world of football. But speaking of football, Rocky's got some massive news.
Yes, we teased it last week that there was going to be some huge re-signings down at Port Adelaide. We said it was going to be a re-signing bonanza.
Yep.
That's come through. We know that Burton, Sin, Lord, Vizentini, Drew, Cleary and Houston all to the football club. So we've had seven this week. But this morning, they've got two more that have recommitted for another 2 years. They have both re-signed until the end of 2024. One being Zach Butters, which has been reported around. So to secure high talent like that. And the other one that no one has mentioned at all, Dead Set Legends exclusive on a Saturday morning for you, Adelaide. Connor Rosie's recommitted for 2 years as well.
Connor Rosie.
Wow.
Wowee.
Well done, Rock.
She's rocking.
It's an amazing thing from the football club to re-sign nine players in a week. I've never, ever been a part or heard re-signing that amount of players. Mm. And it just goes to show that there must be huge confidence down there at Port Adelaide in the club, the direction it's heading. It's a really stable football club. And now they've just got to go out and continue to win games of footy and give themselves the best opportunity. But huge news and a huge boost for Port Adelaide heading in towards the season.
And how happy are you with yourself?
Well, yes, I know that. I was going to say that there's a fair bit of salary that's been freed up from me retiring, so they should give me a little kicker, shouldn't they?
Well, I can't fit your whole head in the Zoom screen at the moment, coming through onto the computer.
Oh, he's tied up, isn't he?
Over there.
To be fair, I've carried you blokes and continue to drop stories and just get this show off the ground.
Right,
in all seriousness, Butters and Rosie to re-sign and recommit is huge news.
Yeah, mate, that's massive. And well done to you, Rock. Seriousness, mate, that's fantastic. You got your ear to the ground with it all, and fantastic for the Port Adelaide Football Club. And a quick one, Rock, I'd love to know your insight on this. Going into round one, how would that go in terms of giving the players a bit of a spring in their step?
Yeah, absolutely. We know that they're really strong off the field and well connected. We've seen them out at Tail and Bend racing some go-karts during the week. So they do a lot of things off the footy ground together, and that's another discussion point that we can talk about later about players having a life outside of footy.
Was Kane Corns all good with that or not?
I'm not sure if he would have been with that. He wasn't happy with him playing cricket. But it just goes to show that they're doing so much right down there at Port Adelaide, and they don't lose talent that they don't want to lose. They continue to re-sign Victorians. They continue to re-sign players from interstate that generally you see from interstate clubs, they lose talent for a number of reasons. But Port Adelaide have this history of not losing anyone that they don't want to lose. And they've re-signed nine this week, and there's not many out of contract now moving forward for them.
Rocky, it just feels like it's a destination club now, and people don't leave the club once they're there. It's been a bit of an issue down the road, but not at Port.
No, absolutely it hasn't. And we've seen that Jordan Dawson chose the Crows over Port Adelaide, but that there was different reasons around why he wanted to go there. So I think the Crows have done really well in that space and making sure that they retain their talent now. But as I said, Port Adelaide, they've just done an outstanding for a number of years. And it's led by Chris Davies, the football manager, I think. He sets that tone really well for the culture of the place and from the top down through the assistant coaches, through Ken, and it filters down to the playing group. And it's a credit to Tom Jonas and his leadership group that the players feel comfortable to re-sign and recommit long-term to the football club. I think Houston signed for another 5 years. Yeah. So it's just, a huge boost, as I said, and it's an amazing thing for Port Adelaide to have all this young talent and the core group re-sign for a number of years together.
Ah, well done, mates. If you just missed it, or you're just tuning in right now, Connor Rosie and Zach Butters have signed on at the Port Adelaide Football Club to the end of 2024. So fantastic news at Port Adelaide. Well done to you, Rocky. It's Dead Set Legends. Triple M. You got your Dead Set Legends here until 12 o'clock. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo. We're going to speak to Ebony Marinoff after 11 o'clock. 50 games. Has not missed a game. So, looking forward to that.
Superstar.
But right now, oh, man, I'm a bit nervous to do this, actually, but we're going to have to get into it. We belong
together. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Stories from home and away.
Yeah, well, as was pumped up a few weeks ago, we had a big barbecue, big team Dead Set Legends barbecue, not just the on-air talent.
No,
we had
team.
Everyone there.
That's
and
right.
It was a great afternoon. The sun was out in Goodwood at my place. It was a fantastic afternoon. Everyone chipped in too, didn't they?
Everyone.
They brought a little bit of something to help fill the bellies, and there's a couple of beers around. But someone who really caught my attention early on, boys, was... Tommy Basso, our young producer, who has mysteriously gone missing this weekend. Long weekend.
Well, long weekend.
Mysteriously gone missing. But he swanned in that day looking very happy with his own work. Bit of a head wobble about him and a couple of boxes and a six-pack. And he said, "Oh, Ferg, I see the bar fridge here, but I've got a couple of little specials here, a pavlova and a chocolate cake. Have you got an inside fridge that we can tuck these into?" And I didn't think too much of it at the time, but... anyway, later on we found out why he wanted them tucked away inside, didn't we? But it was a great afternoon, Tomo.
Oh, it was a good afternoon, but it's a rainy, dark, freaking cloud on top of it. Like, Tom Basso, dead set disgrace. Some of the behaviour, the mannerism around it all. So, you know, we finished up here, finished up at 12.
Yep.
I'm about to take off. You know, my lovely partner, Charlie, was going to meet me there at your house, Ferg.
Yes.
I get a tap on the shoulder from Tommy Basso. "Hey, Tomo, you mind swinging around and picking me up?" I said, "No, I'm happy to do that. No, please. No, thank you." I said,
"Right.
You know what?
Responsible.
That's all right.
Responsible.
Okay. Yeah, I've got nothing wrong with that." So I go around. I'm waiting there out the front. Dead set nearly ran out of petrol, and things aren't good in these times. I'm waiting there for him to come out. He does. He swans on out. He's got a nice little pavlova. I'm like, "Oh, that's good of him. Make that. Fantastic.
Well done."
His mum's made it. His mum's made it. And the six-pack of beer, his old man's. His old man.
Oh, no.
So he hops in the car, we take him along, and then we have a fantastic afternoon. But something happened right at the end there, Rock, that was concerning, wasn't it?
It was.
It was. We'd all packed up. We'd all contributed to the barbecue. I think Ferg was on the tongs doing that. Me and you were whipping some salads up. We're all enjoying each other's company. He was in the pool all afternoon. Did not help. Just came out, fed his face, just scoffed it all down. He went for three servings.
Yeah, he did.
Drank his old man's cans.
Yeah, that's it.
That's right. My lovely wife, Shana, bought some brownies over and he tucked into them as well. He had three or four of them. And then we got to the end of the day and
here we go.
We were walking out, all walking out. We said, "All right, it's time to go. We've all got to go put the kids to bed or do whatever we've got to do." And he just gives Ferg a bit of a yell and he goes, "Ferg, can I just grab those pavlova out of the fridge?"
Yeah. You know that fridge inside that no one knew about and the pavlova no one knew about?
And then, this is the worst bit. I said about he took a six pack of his old man's cans. He had four of them. And took the other two.
No!
So he's made money off this trip. He's made money. He's literally won. He's
didn't pay for any petrol.
Nothing. Not a thing. And then I dropped him home.
He took the pavlova and he asked for a plate of leftovers of meat and salad for dinner that night.
Unbelievable. Righto. Time to open up the phones right now. 1-3-3-5-3. We've all got that flog of a mate that's a dead set tight ass. They think they get away with things, don't they?
Yeah.
But they never do. We want to hear your stories, Adelaide. We've got double passes to give away to Jim Owen, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, please.
How good's that? You know, beautiful night. Head along to the fringe. How good? 1-3-3-5-3. Is your mate a tight ass? We want to hear your stories. It's Dead Set Legends. Triple M. Good morning to you, Adelaide. 19 minutes away from 10 o'clock. Your Dead Set Legends here, Tom Rockcliffe, Cow Ferguson, and Tomo. And boys, we're in the middle of a bit of a pickle. Real pickle, if I'm being brutally honest about things, because we found something out about one of our members in this team, in the Dead Set Legends team. And do you mind just giving us a brief rundown, Ferg, of what actually happened?
Really briefly, young Tom Basso, our producer, who just has left us high and dry on a long weekend, this weekend. But anyway, at our barbecue, the team barbecue, it wasn't just the on-air talent. It was everyone. And he rolled in with a pavlova and, and a few tinnies. He'd flogged off the old man asking you to pick him up an era where it's $2.20 a litre for petrol. You made your way out there.
Beyond out my way.
On an oily rag to get him there and to the barbecue. And, well, on the way out the door, he may have just found the pavlova. He tucked away at the back of the fridge so no one could find it. The pavlova he brought with him. He snuck that out the door with him. And the two beers left of the six-pack he brought along.
And the two beers. That's the most concerning thing, don't you reckon, Rob?
Yeah, it is. I'm sure he's not the first bloke to go to a barbecue and actually make money from it at a venue. I'm sure there's other people out there who have done it, but we got a picture that night as well from him that Sammy Morrison's just sent through of him enjoying his pavlova that his mum had cooked in bed that night. It's just disgraceful behaviour that he's just done Australian and we won't stand for it.
No, it's dead set unsavoury. 133353 is your mate, a tight ass. We'll head out to Golden Grove. We've got Damo. Hello, mate. How are you?
Hey, boys. How we doing?
Yeah, top of the world. What's going on, mate? You got one of those pelican half-witted mates that's just as tight as buggery?
Oh, absolutely. We call him Tight Ass Terry for a reason. But Terry. He rocks up to a bit of a gathering where everyone just rocks up, puts all the beers in the big bath with ice in it and just grab, something different if you want to drink it. He rocks up with his little six-pack esky, tucks it behind the bath, drinks everyone else's grog.
Oh, no.
When his missus comes and picks him up, takes a full or empty esky out of her car, chucks some bottles of champagne and other beer in there, grabs his little picture, and off he goes.
What? Yes. Why are you mates with this man?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, he's just a friend of a friend. Let's just
How does he keep getting a gig?
Sounds like Tom Basso's brother, actually. We'll head out to Salisbury East. We've got David. G'day, Dave. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, buddy. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Tight ass, mates. Who you got?
Yeah, similar story, mate. A guy we used to just call him Six Pack. He'd walk into a party with a carton on his shoulder, and the six pack would be balanced perfectly in the middle. He'd walk out to the fridge, make out to put all the beers into the fridge. Oh. And, drink everyone else's beer and take his six-pack at the end of the
night. No, that's horrible behaviour, David. That is just... You can't do that.
It's disgraceful behaviour. I can't have when people go to your house and then they drink or eat all day for free and then they take it back with them.
Yeah.
No.
And then get a lift home.
It's just given that you just leave whatever's left over there, isn't it?
100%. What you've brought with you does not leave the establishment afterwards.
I'm sorry, it's just wrong. We'll head up to the beautiful Adelaide Hills at Little Hampton. We got Mark. Yes. G'day, Mark. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Hey, Tom, it's Gus's old man. How you going?
Oh, mate, top of the world. What's happening? Tight asses.
Well, it's a guy I used to work with in the post office at Stirling, who shall remain nameless.
Yeah.
We used to have once-a-month barbecues at work, and... he would never stay for him, but he would make sure he took his two sausages, his two chops, and his two beers home and enjoy it at home with the missus.
God. What?
Yes. And another one, though. We used to go to the Old Mill for our Christmas shows.
Beautiful.
And with the buffet, he would go along and he would take his esky lunchbox and fill it up for lunch for the next few days.
Come on, Mark.
What?
This is not
I've heard
on.
It all.
This
That's not on, Postman Pat.
Oh, I don't, like, I don't like this. Oh, hang on. Oh, Tom Basso joins us. Hello,
Basso.
Hello, Tom Basso. What are you doing here, star producer?
Yes.
I've carried this show. And I take 1 weekend off, and this is the thanks I get.
It's the most calls we've ever got to.
You don't get away with much around here, Basso.
1 week off and you've got no content, clearly, so I'm gone. And this is what you have to talk about me.
Well, it's just a horrible behaviour. What do you got to say for yourself? You went through, you ended up full, you got a ride there, a ride home, and you took your old man's beers home. What's the story?
So, can we...
We're running out of time. Sorry, Tommy. We're going to move on. Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. AFL newsbreaker, Jay Clark.
Clarkie, how are you, mate? All right, what's going on in the world of footy?
It's great to be back with you boys. Now, I have heard that Tommy Boy, the former Brisbane captain, is back yes. in the Queensland state. And I've heard that over the past sort of 12 hours, there's been some text messages flying around that Chris Fagan has sent the SOS, the CEO, Greg Swan. He said, Tom, we need you back here. We're going to win the premiership, and we need you around the joint just to like give us a, you know, a set of eyes on the place. No. We know you know it well. We rate your leadership and expertise, but we need you back. The season's about to start, and we just want to get your feedback on how things are looking and potentially the SSP spot open. You could pull the boots back on there, Tom. Is that right?
No, it's an inside hit job. We've obviously Port Adelaide play Brisbane round one, so they offered it. I've been inside the club. I've got all their tactics written down for round one, taken back to Kenny and the boys at Port Adelaide to give them that information.
I like this.
But
I am
up here and just down the freeway, Jack Lukosius. With King re-signing, that's a huge signing for the Gold Coast. But where does that leave Lukosius?
Yeah, it's a big story this week, wasn't it? King signing about $800,000 a year, which is good coin when you're going to be missing the whole season with ice around your knee. So they've certainly paid for it, but it's a symbolic signature. But the thing is, for Adelaide and Port Adelaide, they have always eyed Jack Lukosius. Mm. They love his classiness and his skill, his composure. He's now playing forward because the SA clubs... While the Victorian clubs have done really well in poaching back into GWS and Gold Coast, they've taken a lot of their top talent. It must be said that the SA clubs generally have missed out a fair bit on that homecoming. But Lukosius and Rankin were two who they'd been eyeing for a long time. But the flow-on effect from the King signature is that, and everyone has said this around Jack Lukosius, is that they are really confident that he will stay because Lukosius, Raoul... and there's what King all live together, and there is a tight bond, and that really was a massive factor in King staying. Right, so that's the foundation, the bedrock, the confidence that Stuart Dew needs to go forward to get off to a strong start this season to really, save his job. The writing is on the wall with Alistair Clarkson looming. It's got to be a big story all season long. But Lukosius, it does look like. And Cripper and Reedy there at Adelaide, who always got their eyes on the SA boys right around the competition, it does seem like he's happy up in the Sunshine State.
Now, we're speaking about re-signings. Rocky's been bloody banging his chest for a week. He's, I reckon he's actually claimed himself to be Damien Barrett there for a bit because he's got all this inside word, but there's been some massive Port signings as well, Jay-Z.
Yeah. But so on the back of that, that's really smart, isn't it? To firm up that a lot of those mid-tier guys at Port Adelaide, because it's a big year for the Power. It's like, right, are they going to be a genuine premiership contender, or is there a cliff edge there? Is there a Hawthorne style, that Geelong cliff edge with some of their key players in them? Really in the twilight of their career. So it's really going to be interesting to see which direction the Port Adelaide, who we've all got a lot of respect for, go. And the two guys, Robbie Gray, and these are the guys who Victorian clubs ask about every year, right? So we saw Luke Hodge go from Hawthorn to Brisbane and have a huge impact. Clubs and managers talk about Robbie Gray and Travis Boak in the same manner and breath as Travis Boak, especially the people down at Geelong and Robbie Gray. So it will be interesting. Contracts, obviously, expiring. And I think if Port Adelaide remains a contender, then these guys will be one club champions. But the question will definitely be asked. And you look at a club like Carlton, who are sort of coming into that window, would love a bit of a top-up, some experience to help Paddy Cripps, who's a bit one out at times on the leadership front. And this is clearly putting the cart before the horse. But these are the conversations that are sort of happening in Melbourne when clubs catch up with managers, etc. So what's happening with these two boys? You know how much we love them. So let's see how this season goes. Let's see where Port Adelaide is at.
And if you missed the news earlier, we broke it live here, a Triple M exclusive that Connor Rosie and Zach Butters have signed on to 2024.
Yes, gee whiz.
Yep.
Well, that is huge news. Question without notice, who's going to be a better player, Connor Rosie or Matthew Rowe?
Very different players. I think Rao will be more consistent, but Rosie's more of a match winner.
Yeah, good call. Well said.
Huge signatures for the Port Adelaide Footy Club.
And Jay-Z, with all these Port signings, from a Crows standpoint, they must be a little bit concerned, potentially on the back of the fact they've lost so much of their young talent over the years to Melbourne, and Port have been able to make all these signings. Are they going to feel like they need to get moving with some of their young talent?
Oh, look, I think they've done a reasonable job to this point. I mean, Rochelle is someone they're really excited about, and Phil Thorpe also. I think Fisher McAsee is a really intriguing case. He was pick six. I think Adelaide really liked Dylan Stevens that year. Hawthorn picked up another South Australian youngster in Will Day, who might have been a really quality addition. So I think from over here, I think clubs are really looking at Fisher McAsee to see whether he can establish himself in that Adelaide back line. But certainly, I think there is a really clear path for the Crows. Darcy Fogarty is another one who, I think, as we said the other week, hasn't probably established himself as he really would like. So he's going to have the opportunity this year. You look at a club like Essendon, right? They were really into Ben Kink, and you know, Collingwood the same, key forward. Hawthorn looking to bolster its forward line. So, you know, is Darcy Fogarty, can he be an AFL player who can really establish himself? I think that's going to be an interesting storyline, along with Fisher McAsee, to really to watch this year at Adelaide.
Now, and what's the latest on Jack Darling as well? Just didn't want to do the 2K runs over summer, is that right?
She's an interesting situation over there. Like, they've been begging him to get the jab. He's finally got the jab. He's going to ruck up on training on Monday. Tommy, tell me, how's it going to be with his teammates? Are they going to be? Are they going to feel let down, disappointed? How are those cup of teas going to go?
Yeah, I think that there'll be a lot of mixed emotions. There'll be some players that just welcome him back with open arms, and there'll be some that are a little bit standoffish and are like, well, come on, mate, why did it take so long for you to get this jab? We all did it. We've all been building together as a team. We've had probably our hardest off-season, pre-season in club history, and now you just waltz back in. So there may be a little bit of friction, particularly between the older guys might see it a little bit differently to the younger guys, but I know they'll be pretty happy to have him back with all the concerns that they've had around the place. But it does seem strange timing for him to hold out so long and then go get it done now.
Yeah, agree, mate.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for joining us, Jay-Z. Enjoy your Saturday over in Melbourne, mate.
Good on you, boys.
Thanks, Jay-Z.
Thanks, Jake.
Triple M, 11 minutes past 10 o'clock. You got your Dead Set Legends here until midday. Cal Ferguson, Tom Rockcliffe and Tomo. And wow, hasn't this been... it's been a juggernaut of 3 weeks, I think it's fair to say, because things are happening in swings and roundabouts with the Grange Dolphins, the T20 side that Rocky has been a part of. And then he hasn't been. Well, here's a bit of a recap.
The Grange Dolphins down there, we've got a local team that's filled with Port Adelaide players. Asked me to fill in time after time, so I've been playing with them all year.
I run around, I pick up all the witches' hats after the game.
I've been non-selected for Tuesday's elimination final.
Oh,
I pretty much captained this team and they've left me out.
It's been a busy 7 days investigating. We've had whistleblowers coming out of the woodwork everywhere. However, strangely, their stories aren't matching up with Rocky's side of the story.
BBJ, Rocky, how are you?
Oh, I love it.
It's pretty simple, Ferg. He's noodling 10 off 20, dropping catches.
Oh, no.
Bowling pies.
Oh, no.
Eating all the pies.
Tuesday night, they came begging. They were a couple short and they needed me to play.
They needed you.
And I just said no.
And what happened?
They won. They shouldn't have won, though.
You're into the granny?
Into the grand final.
Skipper Tommy Kaluri, hello, mate. Does our man Rock get a gig in the granny? Yes or no? Do you want him to play?
We might need.
Okay, well, so that's the recap of the situation. What's going on? They've said yes, he's in, and then he's out, and then he's in, and then he's out. Tuesday night was the grand final, the Grange Dolphins, and I'll let you pick it up from here, Rock. What happened, please?
Tomo, do not rock back in that chair of yours. Get the dump button ready. To just sit by.
Whoa! Oh, no!
So we're kitted up. About 3:30 Tuesday afternoon, going down the Grange Dolphins. Oh, no. Tom Cleary's told me I'm playing all day, all week, which was great. Meeting Ferg at the Nets.
We're ready to go. I was just jumping in the car when I got the text.
Have some throwdowns. Meet at 4:30. Make sure my eyes in, ready to go. Text from Riley Bonner comes through. You're out of the team. You're out. Out. At 4 o'clock. And the game starts at 5. They've brought in Dante Vizzantini, okay? So you're coming into the team who opens the batting, and I've opened the bowling a couple of times as well. I do everything. don't put your hand up, son, to come into the team if you're batting number 11 and you do not bowl.
Okay. So you
can't have this. I'll tell you what it is. It's the Rocky Horror Show, this is. Yeah. This has been an absolute shambles for weeks now. We're angry. We're not happy.
We're embarrassed.
We've invited them on to come and explain themselves.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
No, we've got
nothing that's made sense. Dead nothing that has stood up.
Okay, so I'm hearing a lot about Connor Rosie. Okay, so, a lot about Connor Rosie. Obviously, he's re-signed, which is fantastic. Well, I actually don't care about his re-signing. Well, I want to know his input into the grand final, Rock, because surely a man of that talent has put Grange Dolphins on the map.
So sometimes you get what you deserve in this caper, and I think he's made one score of double figures, and then two for the season, and then failed. Grand final time rolls around. He's opening the batting with Chris Davies.
Yes.
Rosie, duck.
What the hell are we dealing with?
And tell us, what did CD contribute?
And the bloke at the other end, I tell
you what.
First
class cricketer.
Yeah.
He's retired three times. He sent me a message, I'm out, you play.
Yep.
He goes out there and makes two.
Mate, I've got some advice.
Where's the leadership?
I've got some advice for CD. Retire a fourth time. Seriously.
He's like
John Farnham.
Just leave it, mate.
Yes.
You're past your prime. Go enjoy retirement. So at the end of the day, they've batted their allotment of 20 overs, and they want to talk about me noodling them around.
Yep.
They're on the main oval. The back oval at Grange is a little bit slower. I like to caress the ball along the ground. I'm sure I would have got more on the main oval. They've 8 for 115.
Oh,
wow.
It's
embarrassing.
They've proceeded out to the field, and they're going okay, but they've dropped five catches.
Oh, for God's sake.
Now,
five catches. It's a disgrace. How can they drop catches? They're an elite sportsman. They should able to catch them with their eyes closed.
Exactly right. And what happened? Did they get chased down? What's the story?
Oh, I got chased down quite convincingly. they took
stroll
a couple
in
early,
the park.
early wickets, and they ended up passing him 4 for 118.
Wow.
With 8 balls to spare.
Oh, that's
I think the other team just noodled him around for the last 10 overs. They were always going to get him quite comfortably. So very disappointing. Riley Bonner, don't come knocking. I can tell you one thing, Dolphins. Don't call me next year when you're short.
Yeah.
I'm a free agent. I'm going into the free agent market to
love
find
it.
A new cricket club. So any clubs out there that want to get in touch, I might even be able to bring me mate Tomo and Ferg along to come and play with
us.
Right,
well, that is
I'm
true.
I'm a free agent in the T20
All right, let's
atmosphere.
Do this. 133353. We need a new club. We're on the eve of finals.
That's right.
Has he got time to qualify?
I might get a bit itchy by then too. I might be keen for a hit too.
You are?
Rock. I might be in.
All right, I like this. 133353. If you want The Rock playing for you, wouldn't believe it. No calls. Triple M. Triple M. Dead Set Legends here until 12 o'clock today. Beautiful Saturday morning. How good is
magic.
It? Seriously, for a long weekend, it's a Dead Set picture outside. Coming up very, very shortly, actually. Rusty's motorsport update for Bendix. Cannot wait for this.
Fire up.
Bendix brakes.
Rusty.
Put
yes.
your foot down with confidence. But right now, we are in the middle of a massive investigation about what the hell's going on. Rocky, you've been fobbed off like buggery from the Grange Dolphins. What's going on, please?
The Dolphins, I'm the spiritual leader. I've carried the team. Whenever they needed anything, I was there. I took their calls. But now it's got to a position where they've left me out after final. They tell me I'm in. They send me a message an hour before the game and say, you're out. They bring in a kid, an untried kid.
Yeah.
Not even batting.
No.
Number 11, doesn't bowl. And then they expect me just to continue to be signed with them and sitting on the sidelines waiting for the call-up.
Yeah, so we were actually meant to open up the phones on 133353. When did you get dropped? But
you got to be excited.
I did get a bit excited because I'm not doing that. I don't want to hear people get dropped. I want to sign Rocky up to a new, brand new cricket club.
Yep.
A franchise, okay?
Yes.
I'm his manager, okay? I'm looking after him.
Wheeling and dealing.
So 133353, if you want The Rock to play for you, hit us up right now as we go out to prospect. We got Craig there. G'day, Craigos. How are you, mate? All right?
Yeah, good yourself, boys.
Yes,
going well.
Thank you. What's the story, Craig? What are you offering?
Okay, so I coach A-grade football out at Brahma Lodge, and the Brahma boys played against the Dolphins and only just lost.
Ooh,
so,
wow.
I mean, I think that you, I mean, Ferg, you and Rocky would be perfect. You'd get a game out at Brahma, you know, free beers, free sausages, I reckon.
Ooh,
the boys would love that next year.
Did you forget? You forget
mate.
My name, Craig? Like seriously, mate.
Oh look, Tomo, mate.
My bat 11 don't bowl.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're from Meadows, mate. So maybe you might just have to stick up there, mate. You know?
Doesn't worry,
bar.
Whack! I have some of that.
Right, so, what are we thinking, Rock?
Oh, I like this offer. I need confirmation that I'll be able to wear the grill when the Dolphins are batting under silly mid-on so I can really get inside a couple of their heads because I know they're very mentally weak.
Ooh. Oh, look, I think they're clutching at straws, mate. When they're dropping someone like yourself, Rock, I mean, you know, it's pretty sad. You know, spiritual leader of the club, you know, spiritual leader of the Dolphins and that, and, you know, they're just... That burnt you, mate. So come out to Brahma next year. You'll be more than welcome.
Okay, I like this. We'll take some more calls on this.
What's your nickname? Mm. Like, I've got the Dolphins. Where am I going?
You're going to the Tigers, mate.
The Tigers.
Tigers.
Mm. I love it. Tigers. Do you see yourself as a Tiger, Rock?
I used to barrack for Richmond when I was growing up, so I there could be a Tiger.
Yeah, right.
There's a connection.
Well, there is. This could be happening, actually. Mm. This could be happening. We'll take some more calls on this. 133-53 if you want to get involved as well. But coming up shortly, Rusty, looking forward to this chat. It's all things motorsport.
He'll keep us in the loop with everything to do motorsport. It was a good chat too, so we'll look forward to that one.
Yep, we'll get to that shortly. Dead Set Legends.
This motorsport update with Rusty is brought to you by Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
I love this. On the line is our mate, a Greg Rust from Rusty's Garage podcast, which you can actually get for free on the Listener app, LISTNR. Good to have you back on for another session, Rusty.
Hello, Tom, Callum and Mark. Very excited to be back on the M's for another year of motorsport, which, as you guys know, is already underway too.
Yeah, we're off and firing, no doubt about that one, Rusty. Now, Daniel Ricciardo has COVID, so, we wish him a speedy recovery. We're just wondering how much it would affect him or how he's gone with his pre-season form.
Yeah, he's announced it on his social media this morning. He says he's feeling a little bit better already, but doing all the right things in terms of isolating. Formula One and the McLaren team will have some very good systems in place around this. And he's rightly pointed out, better now than next week for the opening round of the championship. So we wish him a speedy recovery. Obviously, he can watch a little bit of Drive to Survive while he's recovering. That brand new season has dropped so much hype around this. And I'm told... I've just started to watch it, but I've been told by some colleagues the final episode is epic. Look forward to watching that.
How good.
We will fire up for that one, Rusty. And Chaz Mostert leads the Supercars series after round one. Has the Bathurst winning team got what it takes regularly throughout this season to challenge Red Bull and Dick Johnson Racing?
I reckon they can. And some people probably feel the Walkinshaw team are maybe a bit ahead of where they've been talking about. So obviously a very special win, as you point out, at Bathurst last year for Chas Mostert and Lee Holdsworth. Great for that team. They've put some things in place that show they've taken some real steps forward, but I think they've talked like it'll still take a bit of time for them to be championship contenders. Right, Chas is top of the points. A lot came out of that opening round. Great debut for young Brock Feeney. It was a bit of a welcome to Supercars. They play tough in that game, but he did a few good things that impressed after taking over from Jamie Wincup. Big shoes to fill there. And Shane Van Gisbergen had some mighty drives when he was on the back foot on occasion. So lots to look forward to there. I think it'll be a three-way fight, as you say. It's going to be the Walkinshaw team, particularly with Chaz, Red Bull and Dick Johnson Racing, and that's great for fans of supercars. It's going to be a good year there.
Yeah, well said, mate.
Yeah, Rusty, speaking of supercars, former supercars champion Scott McLaughlin is now an IndyCar winner. Is he a contender over there, or was it just that the Florida track suited him?
I don't think this is a fluke at all. The Penske organisation have put lots of good things around Scott McLaughlin for the 2022 season. You know, mechanics and engineers that have got great experience at winning titles and Indy 500s and so on. And he's obviously really knuckled down and taken it to another level over our summer. So while you could say, that Florida track might have suited him, it was the way that he... dominated, was so impressive in qualifying and throughout the race to take that win. Now he's got the monkey off his back. And I think the feeling, the observation in the paddock is his rivals very much respect the win, but they know this bloke has arrived. He's got a bucket load of talent, and I can't wait to see now what he does in the rest of the IndyCar season.
Spot on, Rusty. Thank you so much for joining us, mate. You can, obviously grab his podcast on the Listener app. You're a good man, Russ. Thank you.
Thanks, Rusty.
Rusty.
Have a great weekend, guys. We'll catch you next week.
That's Rusty for Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
18 minutes away from 11 o'clock. You got your Dead Set Legends here until 12 o'clock, actually. So, Cal Ferguson, Tom Rockliffe, and Tomo, we're going to speak to Ebony Marinoff just after 11 o'clock. Oh, boy, now isn't the women's just absolutely flying the Crow Girls, which is fantastic. So, we'll catch up with her. But right now, we're talking about the close contact rules and how it's a bit of a disadvantage to our SA football clubs, Rock.
Yeah, it is. The SA clubs have been dudded again by the VFL, AFL. Just to take you back and give you a picture of how it all began with the COVID restrictions and so on. So we know that Victoria was much worse than what we were in South Australia. However, because Victoria was worse, they didn't want the South Australian teams or teams in a state to have a disadvantage and a competitive advantage by able to train in larger groups of 10 or whatever we can. They wanted the competition integrity. They wanted the competitive balance.
Yeah.
So we could only train in pairs because Melbourne could only do that. Because that's right. That's fair. That's understandable. Mm-hmm. You want the competition to remain even across the board. However, we're approaching the season. We know that the restrictions are different in every state, whether you test positive or not. Luckily for South Australia, it's just gone down from 10 days to 7 if you do test positive, which I know for a fact there was conversations behind closed doors at AFL House and within the clubs in a state to say, well, how can this be fair? Why isn't it a blanket rule? And they said, no, it's just state rules now. We're going to go with state rules. It's the easiest way to do it, which is just completely wrong, because would you be comfortable with Max Gawn and Riley O'Brien testing positive the same day? Max Gawn misses one game, Riley O'Brien misses two games.
That's right.
Now there's the close contact rule. So still here in South Australia, it's for 15 minutes. If you're inside with someone for 15 minutes, you have to go in isolation for 7 days, which I think National Cabinet met yesterday. How we're still not on national rules is beyond me anyway, but that's a completely different conversation to what we're having here. But in Melbourne, it's 4 hours.
Yep. So how do we change it though, Rock? This is the thing, because if we say that it should be 4 hours for all the AFL players, and, you know, it because the people, the punters will get upset about it. Like, if it's going to be, why AFL players any different?
No, I don't think it should go. I don't think the AFL players in South Australia should be given that extra time. I think the AFL have to make the rule. What they did at the start of COVID was competitive balance, competitive advantage. We don't want anyone to have that. It has to be the harshest rules.
Yes,
you can't change midway through COVID because now the Victorian teams are less affected by them and go, oh no, we'll just go by state rules. You went with the most harsh restrictions because that's what was happening in Victoria at that time. So then now why do the Melbourne teams get the advantage over the South Australian teams because of state rules? It needs to be a blanket rule across the competition, the same as what it was at the start of COVID. You can't then 2 years in change the rules because it suits the 10 Melbourne clubs a lot better than what it does the 2 South Australian teams.
So 15 minutes for everyone, that's what we're saying?
Yep.
Yeah, it should be.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a no-brainer to me. But it would be interesting though, wouldn't it, Rock? If the roles were reversed, if we were 4 hours over here and Melbourne were 15 minutes, I wonder what would happen.
I'd be exactly headlines everywhere, wouldn't it?
they'd be jumping up and down, and it just wouldn't happen. And even the Players Association, where have they been in this conversation? Where are they to come out and stick up for the players that are in a state who we know that they do it harder anyway, interstate players, but it just reeks of that VFL, AFL, Melbourne-centric again. And we see it time after time, and they're very lucky. And had the rules been the other way, if South Australian teams had have only had to do the 7 days and Melbourne teams had to do the 10 days up until this week, they would have been jumping up and down. But because the South Australian teams are, we're just bad luck.
Yep. Nah, well said, Rock. I like it, mate. I love it. I think you're all over it. Hey, coming up next, Dave Gleeson actually dropped something on Triple M Nights with Dave Gleeson about the AFL players and the NRL players. So I'm going to get to that very, very shortly about donating some of their salary, some of their wage to help out the flood victims. It's Dead Set Legends. Dead Set Legends, 104.7 Triple M, 11 minutes away from 11 o'clock, coming up after 11. Ebony Marinoff. I'm looking forward to that conversation with the Crows. Superstar. Brand new show launched, it was probably about 6 weeks ago, boys. Triple M Nights with Dave Gleason. He's going very, very well.
Who anchors that?
Flying. I got no idea. I've heard he's a king.
Old three shows, Thomas. Don't worry about that.
No, he's doing very, very well. And just on a serious note here, so his obviously he's from Newcastle. His state has obviously been... Oh,
it's been battered.
It seriously has. And Queensland as well with all the floods. And he's come up with a bit of a flood fundraising idea. Here's what he dropped last week on the show.
On behalf of the musicians of Australia, in these turbulent times, I want to express my condolences and desire to help all those affected by the floods. Mm. Unfortunately, like 99% of Australian artists who were left high and dry by the government, whilst other events, especially football codes, were encouraged and bailed out, I am tapped out money-wise. Asking musicians to give their time for free to raise money for flood victims and fire victims is something that has happened countless times over the years, and we have always raised our hands immediately to help. I'm wondering if this time, instead of a concert, we simply ask the sporting codes, the two major ones, I guess the AFL and the NRL, to perhaps donate the entire gate entry fees for the first round. I know Gillon McLachlan said the AFL are expecting crowds of 400,000 plus in their first week, so maybe all the players also could contribute their first week's salary. I'm not picking on people, but I'm just saying it's a different time. And as it is, most musicians have struggled to get to this stage through the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's time we maybe put the yoke on someone else's shoulders to help raise money for the flood and flood victims.
Well, the yoke's still on the artist's shoulders because something's going ahead tonight. And Jimmy Barnes is going to be playing out at Tones and I, Delta Goodrum, John Stevens, Missy Higgins. There's a whole heap of artists that have come through here and they're going to have to play this. And once again, we go to the artists rather than some other people of significance in this country.
Yeah, look, Gleeso doesn't miss too often. He's right on the money with this one, I believe. I think there's a real opportunity here, particularly for the two football codes that are prevalent at the moment on the Australian landscape. The seasons are about to kick off. I think there's a real opportunity here. I hope they don't miss it because the artists continually, whenever there's tragedy, whenever there's, you know, whether it's flooding or bushfires, you name it, they step up to the plate. 100%. So I think this is a real opportunity. I hope they don't miss it. With cricket, there's been in the past, international tournaments, whether it be World Cups in One Day Cricket or T20, Champions Trophy tournaments. There's been waivers that are sent around to the players at the start of the tournament. The International Players Association will accept 5% of your match fees just to make sure that they're keeping an eye across all of the countries, whether that's test-playing nations or the lower levels. Mm-hmm. It's just a contribution from the players. Yep. 5% of your match fees go towards the International Players Association. I wonder if that's the type of setup we could look at. The players, Rocky, will know more about the pay structure and whether it's match fees or salary that they might give up a portion of. But I think there's definitely a way to go about this, and it'll be an enormous contribution because there's a lot of money in AFL and NRL these days. It's big business, so I think there's a way to get this done.
What do you think, Rock?
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen the AFL play that charity game when the bushfires were on, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, and the best 50 players in the competition put their hand up to play. Obviously, we're going into the season now, so that can't be done. But I think it's a great point that the AFL and NRL have been bailed out by the governments over the last 2 years to make sure that the competitions continue to run. We know the musicians have been affected. They haven't been able to do concerts, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm sure if you ask the players that they would be willing to help and put money in. I know there's an AFL Players Care Fund, which I think every club gets to donate $20,000, so 18 teams of $20,000. I'm sure they would all be happy to put it into the flood victims.
Yep.
The salary structure is a little bit different. Not everyone's on match payments, but I was looking at those figures, and I'm sure the AFL, I know they've done it tough, but they've been better off than a lot of other industries over the years. If there is 400,000 that go through, and say it's $50 a ticket, there's $20 million right up front.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, and I know it's going to hurt initially at the start because you lose that money, but why not? Why not donate it and just as much as you can?
Well, as much as you can, and I don't even think it needs to be the whole lot.
No.
What's a dollar off a ticket? There's $400,000. Yep. Like, every little bit helps here, and I think the AFL and the NRL, if they don't look at doing something, I reckon they might have missed something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you know, people remember when you make contributions like this, don't they?
Yeah,
so I think this is a big opportunity.
Awesome. Triple M. 6 minutes past 11 o'clock for your Saturday morning. Got the Dead Set Legends here. Cal Ferguson, Tom Rockcliffe and Tomo trying to get a hold of Ebony Marinoff. We'll see if we can get her very, very shortly. But I want to talk cricket right now, boys, and the rule changes and the, well, to me, sort of unnecessary rule changes. I don't know. They've just sort of come out of nowhere. Ferg, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, there's been a fair bit of chat over the last few days about some of these rules and there is some controversy attached to them. I mean, we were talking off air over the last few days about, in particular, the Mancad one.
So there's three new ones. Just go through them.
There's actually quite a few.
Yeah, is there?
There is, yeah. But the ones, some of the ones that stand out in particular, let's talk a little bit about the Mancad.
Yeah,
now,
that's
always been seen as a bit of a against the spirit of cricket one, you know, not fair. There needs to be a warning to the batters.
Mm.
There's actually nothing in the rules that has ever stipulated that you have to give the batter a warning.
Yep.
It's always been out, but there's been wording within the rules about the fact that it wasn't within the spirit of cricket.
Mm.
And that just confuses everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Should we be giving it out? Don't we? Should there be a warning? Shouldn't there be? Well, we've seen Ashwin actually run a few out in the IPL in recent years. I remember Joss Butler was actually on the wrong end of one.
Mm.
And then we saw in Premier Cricket a couple of weeks ago in a final, two guys in a row mancatted within the space of two balls.
Mm.
So there's always been a bit of an ill feeling around this one. It's now been just made clear cut, black and white. It's out. There's nothing against the spirit of cricket. If you're at the non-striker's end, you need to be in your crease before the ball is bowled. Otherwise, your fate's in your own hands.
I don't mind that one. I don't know what you're at here, Rock. I don't mind that one. So what's stopping the batsman from standing halfway down the pitch?
Yeah, I like it as well. I think you've just got to time it right. Make sure you watch the bowler coming in. You don't want to see bowlers be actively going for it, but if there's a bloke leaving quite early and you can see it, you're still behind the umpire and he's out of his crease, so I have no issue with him taking the bails off.
Okay, so I got a quick one for you about the Mancad, all right?
Okay.
I can throw a couple. You know, you're the cricket expert.
Yeah.
Okay, so because it's classed as a run out, isn't it?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can get 5 wickets without the ball being bowled. Or 6 wickets without a ball being bowled, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So who do those wickets go for? Or are they just run outs?
They're just run outs. No one gets that wicket. The bowler doesn't get it.
This is unbelievable.
Play cricket, Tomo?
No. But I mean, like, you could get all 10 dismissals without bowling a ball now.
Potentially, but that's not going to happen.
So, well, who knows? It could happen.
Come on, man.
Could happen to Stansbury today.
Imagine that. Burn. Mancad. I'd love to see it. Imagine that in a grand final. One of the other ones that was really interesting was no spit on the ball.
Yeah.
Right? So ball tampering.
Yep.
And it's been happening forever and a day. Rocky's probably got a couple of bottle caps in his pocket when he's out there trying to get the thing reversing in the first over. But
Got the arse from Grange.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
but
why
now,
I used to feel down at the fence so I could have a couple of stubbies over the fence.
No one would see you doing it. But that's another one that's really going to pique some interest.
Yeah.
On the back of the fact that, you know, forever and a day we've spat on our fingers or licked our fingers and rubbed it on the ball. Now, if you've never played the game of cricket before, Rock, you've got to be looking at that on the sidelines going, what the hell are these blokes? Like, it's gone from 5 different sets of hands on the way through and everyone spat on it on the way through.
Unbelievable.
Oh, love it.
Oh, mate. But in all honesty, that's going to change the game now.
You're allowed sweat, though.
Yeah, you're allowed sweat.
So what's the difference?
Look, a lot of people will say, you know, oh, they'll find another way. And you're right.
Yeah.
Like, and a lot of people will say, oh, I never had lollies in my mouth like they did over in England and whatnot. I never cheated, you know, this, that, and the other. Look, if you've played cricket for a length of time and shined the ball, you've inevitably done it. You know, even if now you wipe sweat off your arm and rub it on the ball, you've probably got sunscreen on your arm, haven't you?
Yeah, that's it.
So
is
that contributing?
Or hand sanitizer?
They reckon, so for the listeners at home, they reckon that the sugar content on your tongue actually makes the ball swing more. Is that correct? That's why they've banned it?
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to identify if you're tampering or not.
That's right. So people will quite often, and Faf du Plessis got caught while captaining South Africa. He had a lolly and it was blatantly obvious. He basically had it on the end of his tongue. The camera was on him and he rubbed his fingers straight across the lolly that was in his mouth and onto the ball. Now, what that can do, that sugar, can create a bit of a lacquer, you know, almost smooth covering on the ball on that shiny side,
okay,
which will help create reverse swing.
Yeah, got you.
The ball will start reversing towards, swinging towards the shiny side and cause all sorts of trouble for the batters. There's been some plays that have just been way too obvious. I'm not sure if keeping sandpaper down your pants is obvious.
Yeah, that's enough.
There's a bit going on there. Yeah, there's a bit happening. But it's outlawed now. You can't do it. So you've got to use... Now, I remember being out in the ground
a couple
of times and standing at the non-strikers end and watching a couple of players walk past me from the fielding side with big chunks of Blistex sitting in their ear. And I'm like, can you even... Are you there, mate? Can you hear me? How you going there? Blistex covering his ear hole, trying to get the ball swinging, and inevitably two overs later, it's swinging late at me and my off stumps line on the carpet.
Oh, brilliant. Righto, boys. Ebony Marinoff coming up very, very shortly on the Dead Set Legends. It's 12 minutes past 11. Good morning, Adelaide. Triple M, Dead Set Legends, 16 minutes past 11 o'clock. Beautiful Saturday morning coming up very, very shortly. Talking about social sports for AFL players. Is it too risky? Want to get your thoughts on it very, very shortly, Triple M family. But right now, we've got the superstar from the Adelaide Crows, Ebony Marinoff, on the line. G'day, Ebs. How are you?
Morning, boys. Very well, thank you.
Great to hear. Hey, big game tomorrow against the Saints down at Moorabbin. Minor premiership up for grabs. What's the story? How are we feeling?
Yeah, obviously another trip away to Melbourne. I've never played down at Moorabbin, so super exciting. Always love playing the Saints. So, it should be a good match. And like you said, there's a minor premiership on the line.
Mm-hmm. Ebony, Tom Rockliffe here. Congratulations last week. First player in AFLW history to reach the 50-game milestone. I think there was a couple of Brisbane Lions girls as well. But what does that mean to you to be able to achieve that?
Yeah, I guess it was pretty special. In the first couple of years, we're only playing, 7 or 8 games. So to notch it up in 6 seasons, just like, pretty proud moment. And, obviously to be one of the first was pretty cool. But, now we kind of just switch on. It was a big week and, the club were very good about it. And, I guess it was a pretty good achievement in terms of where women's footy is. 50 games is probably equivalent to, 120, 130 games in men's season. So,
And Ebony, it's Callum Ferguson here. Looking at the numbers, you've had a great season so far and obviously a great season for the team. But how have you seen it personally? Do you feel like you've taken your game to another level this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think, our game is evolving here at the footy club. We've had a few girls come in about 3 years ago and they're really like getting the system that, Docs, emphasises. And, when everyone's on the same page in terms of the game plan, it makes my life easier in the midfield. But, I kind of work hard on my skills every off-season and, probably just up my kicking and efficiency going, inside 15. Those score involvements have probably been higher than ever this year for myself. So that's always good to contribute in the offensive side of things.
We're speaking to Ebony Marinoff, three-time All-Australian, two-times premiership player, averages just over 21 disposals and 8.5 tackles a game, don't mind.
Unbelievable.
She's taken those numbers up to 25 disposals and 7.5 tackles this year.
Wow.
I want you to reflect a little bit, if we can, on the impact. You're a serious trailblazer for young women these days, and how does that sit with you? You've impacted the next generation of young women coming through, young girls that are going to play AFL football. How does it feel to be a part of that movement? And effectively, you're one of the best trailblazers in the competition.
Yeah, well, look, it's been an honour, I guess, to be one of the inaugural players six years ago. And I think, I kind of reflect looking back when I was 11 and 12 playing with the boys. And, that's all I knew back then. But now when you go, I watch my little cousins play and they're in like under nines, under tens and they're playing with all girls. Like it's been an incredible, 5 years for women's footy because it happened so quickly. I think, when I got drafted, I thought that it would, take a little bit longer than what it has. But, it's grown massively, not just like here in our state, but across the rest of the country. And it's super exciting to watch.
Now, Evs, we're getting to the pointy end of the AFLW season with the men's just kicking off next week. How do you go playing in the summer? Would you like to see it played throughout the winter in the future?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I feel like everyone has, it's very, personal based. I love playing in summer. Mm. Don't get me wrong, it gets hot, but I couldn't imagine going back, you know, playing in the winter. I mean, I don't mind playing in the rain, but, you know, muddy ovals, rain, hail, you know, I actually don't mind playing in summer. I can understand. I mean, we've had, I think, majority of our games have been 30-plus. But then you adapt to it.
Yep.
So I think, yeah, if you can adapt and, you know, just not worry about it, because it's an uncontrollable for us. We're playing, you know, this season in the heat.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to roll with it and, you know, do everything right in terms of, like, hydration, ice vest, recovery, etc.
Awesome. Nah, love it. You're a star, Ebony. Thank you so much for joining us on Dead Set Legends on Triple M this morning. And all the best tomorrow against the Saints. I reckon you'll kick their ass personally.
I hope so. Thanks for having me, boys.
No worries.
Good luck, Ebony.
Thank you.
What a gun. What an absolute gun she is. Fantastic for the Adelaide Crows girls. And yeah, like I said, they play the Saints tomorrow. So all the very best. Triple M. Smack on 11:30 for your Saturday morning. You got the Dead Set Legends here for another half an hour. Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo. When we saw two Bulls go head to head this week online, 500 games of AFL experience.
Yep.
Both played for the Port Adelaide Football
yep.
Club. Both played big finals for the Port Adelaide Football Club.
Yep.
And they went head to head, Ferg. Seriously,
didn't they?
It was brutal online. It was an assassination. It was Tom Rockcliffe
yep.
versus Kane Corns. And look, I was a bit worried. I was very, very worried.
Yep.
And yeah, anyway, explain it all, please, Rock.
It was not head to head at all, but it really built up into something, and
don't
it could have got out of hand.
Rock.
There's no doubt about that. But it was just around the Port Adelaide, the Dolphins, that we've well documented on this show. And Kane just suggested that maybe they shouldn't play, break a finger 11 days out from round one.
Come on, Kane.
I just sort of said, that's such a poor take. What do we expect the players to do? Go to training and immediately go home, wrap themselves in cotton wool. Surely they're allowed to have fun. Surely they can do stuff outside. There's no difference going to hit a golf ball, in my opinion, from playing cricket. Is it safe for them to drive their cars? Because cars are dangerous. Where do we draw the line here? They're at more risk of missing round one going out for dinner currently, because you have to go into isolation if you test positive. So where do we expect players? Do we expect them just to be AFL players 24/7 and not have a life whatsoever outside of football?
Rocky, I'm not liking the fact that you're downplaying this beef.
There's
plenty going on, but I like your take there, Rock. They've got to be human beings as well. They can't just be 24-hour-a-day athletes. Mm-hmm. I understand there's always got to be a view to it. You don't want to be missing huge chunks of footy. I've always looked at our contracts in cricket, and I'm sure it's very similar in footy. I'm not sure where the line is in footy, but they cut it off at extreme sports in cricket in your contract. So I've always viewed that as, you know, water skiing, snowboarding, all of that sort of stuff.
What about hopping in some supercars up at Tail and Bend?
Yeah, that's
go-karting.
I'm going to say that's not so much, because it's a controlled environment.
Probably
more
dangerous.
You're not racing against
someone.
Hopping
on the freeway, getting up there.
That's right. Exactly right. So look, my concern here is that, you know, cricket's not an extreme sport. You know, you're half a chance to, I don't know, do a hamstring or calf kicking the footy around, or you know, I don't know, having a jog around the oval with a couple
training.
Of mates, just training, you know, whatever it is, away from official training. You're always a chance to get hurt wherever you go. A social game of cricket.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I know.
Let's live.
Now, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. And Rock, and you're all good after that big battle this week, Rock, because it was brutal online.
I need a bonding session with you two gentlemen this afternoon, or at some point in the next week, just to debrief it, and you can wrap your arms around me. We can have a bit of a debrief
Perfect.
Around
Well, you've
it.
Got to be able to fit us in with all those invoices you're dishing around out there in Queensland, all the business you're doing in Brizzy.
That is true. Unacceptable. How's that for a show? 8 minutes away from 12 o'clock, Dead Set Legends here. And boys, we're wrapping up for another big, big edition of the Dead Set Legends. You dropped some massive news off the top there, Rock, about a couple of re-signings at Port with Connor Rosie and Zach Butters. And geez, it's been about the Rock today, I tell you, because we went through the Grange Dolphins final.
That's right.
We went through the massive, brutal fight, online fight, Kane Corns versus Rock.
I think that's a watch this space too on that one. Don't worry about this. This is
what happens, Ferg, when he's not in studio, because we can do what we want.
That's right.
Because
we'll write the agenda.
Yeah, that's it. We do what we want when he's not here. He's up there making big, big bucks in
big
Brisbane
moves,
at the moment.
Movers and shakers.
Seriously.
He's at the top of the list when it comes to not just story breaking, but also in the business world, moving and shaking. He's telling us that.
Yes, there's plenty happened. We got into Tom as well, Basso, another Tom. Yeah. We got into him and his shenanigans at the barbecue.
The producer. Yep.
Four sleeps to go to the AFL season. It's been a huge morning. And you know what, boys? It's the last time we worked till 12 o'clock for a number of weeks.
That is true.
We're going to tighten it up a little bit, aren't we?
We're out early. There'll be no time for Ferg to carry on with those stories and really drag them out.
I'll tell you what, though. Talking about stories, we need to find out what's going on with the rush hour and their barbecues. They still haven't had a barbecue, I've heard.
Is that right?
Still haven't had one, Rob.
No, I haven't heard that.
Still haven't had a barbecue. I don't, Jars doesn't know whether he's coming or going half the time.
Oh, no, that's a whack.
They're in dire straits again, the rush hour.
Oh, no.
A real late clip.
Righto, what's on today, please, Rocky, other than the massive contracts that you're signing up there?
I've got a few jobs that I've got to take care of this afternoon.
And then cha-ching.
Venture down and, so it'll be a good afternoon up here in Brisbane, but cannot wait to get back to Adelaide and the Adelaide Cup on Monday, that'll be a huge turnout. Public holiday, everyone will be down there, trackside.
Yeah. Beautiful. What about you, Fergus? What's on today, mate?
Heading out to Swan Reach with the family and some of the relatives. Yep. Get down, get to Riverside and maybe jump on the boat, bit of skiing.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, now I'm retired.
Yeah, have a crack.
No contractual restrictions there. I'll be out in the boat and on the skis.
Awesome.
What about Tomo? You, Tomo?
I'm down the coast as well, actually. I had a wedding.
Surfing?
Having a real crack surfing.
Keeping
Looking
it straight and narrow, though, hopefully.
Always. I might just body surf the Savo. down to Goolwa. I had a wedding yesterday, so I've just sort of crunched through the last 3 hours and hopped back on it, I reckon. So, awesome. All right, we're out of here. If you miss anything, you can download the podcast on the listener app. Rude Dits and Lies back Monday morning from 6 a.m. And we'll see you next Saturday from 9. See you, bye.
See you, family.